will praise the living, loving Lord. And welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International Global Podcast. Let me tell you, long time ago, the Lord told me he was going to take this broadcast international, and he did just that. And there's over 70 nations on this planet that dial in to hear broadcasts on demand. So I thank God tonight. I have a very special guest tonight, my daughter, Minister Shawnee Janine Cazares Banks. And I know that she chose this topic and picked this topic just because God, the Holy Spirit, gave it to her. I believe God that he's going to use her. And so let's pray right now. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise, honor, and all the glory. We bless your holy name. We lift you up and we honor you right now. There's none like you. There's no love like yours. There's no friend like you. Hallelujah. Father God, Adonai Elohim, we thank you. We thank you that you look upon us every day and give us new mercies every morning. We thank you, Lord, that you go before us and make every crooked way straight, that you even watch our back because your word says that you're our rear guard. We lift you up. We magnify your holy name. We thank you for getting us through this day to this appointed time tonight. We thank you for Gatekeepers Ministry International. We thank you for your hand upon this platform. We thank you for your anointing upon those that are my guests and myself, Lord God. When we come on the air at any given time, we thank you. We worship you and honor you, Lord Jesus. There's none like you. There's no love like yours. If it had not been for you on our side, where would we be? Oh, my God, we thank you. We give you all the praise, God. We thank you, Lord, for those that are dialing in, those that are streaming in tonight. I welcome you, hallelujah. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, to this platform this evening. I welcome you in the lives of every listener. I welcome you in my life, in my home right now. We welcome you, Lord, in Shawnee's life, in the lives of her husband, her sons, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we give you praise. We know that there's no one like you. We thank you, Lord God, for being born to die. Die for my sins, for our sins. For your Father God so loved the world that he gave you to us, Yahshua. Hallelujah. His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on you shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. We thank you, and we bless your name. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Gatekeepers Ministry International. I thank you for joining us tonight. I'm excited. Usually I open the broadcast with a song, but there's a special song that my daughter wants to me to play before she gets on to speak. So I'm going to do that for her. But I just want to say thank you for dialing in. I know that God has prepared her to bring forth this message, and I know that it's going to be a blessing to you. I just want to say that if you have streamed in to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, we welcome you. We thank you for streaming in. And if you dialed 929-477-2442, we thank you for dialing in tonight. We thank you that you answered to the leading of the Holy Spirit, because I do believe that everyone that dials in, streams in, or goes to the website and listens on demand at any time, that the Holy Spirit leads them to do that. So I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I thank him. I thank him for life, health, and strength. I had doctor appointment after doctor appointment last week. Everyone had a report from the Lord. That's the report I believed before I went in to get the results. It truly is. I went to a dermatologist on Friday because two moles appeared on me, one on my chest, and she looked at the one on my chest, and first her nurse asked me for my birth date, and I told her again, you know how the secretaries ask you every time you call to make an appointment, but the nurse asked me when she looked at my chart. When the doctor came in, she looked at me and she said, if I look like you when I get your age. And I said, well, I attribute that to my prayer life. And she said, you mean if I pray, I can look like that? I said, well, I gave my life to Jesus Christ 41 years ago. And I found a scripture in the Bible that says he will renew my youth. And I said, and I believe that he has. I said, I started praying that in my prayer time every day for 5 years or more. And I guess I got the results of my prayers. And I just bless God tonight because I had an open door to say something to her about my life in Christ. And she says, well, I'm into, all kinds of beauty. So I said, well, what about Botox? And she said, oh, you don't need Botox. And she said, lift your eyebrows. She said, you got one line when you lift your eyebrows. People come in here and got lines and they don't even have to lift their eyebrows. That's why they need Botox. But she says, I don't want you to waste your money. And so I had a good time talking about the Eagles, and she was talking about her favorite college team. And so I was just blessed with the report because she told me that the moles aren't cancerous and they'll never be cancerous. And she showed me a picture or pictures of what cancerous moles look like. So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. You know, the devil will try to pin anything on you, and he'll try to make it so that you feel like it's going to happen. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. But the devil is a liar, because when God is in your life and if he is part of your lifestyle and his word is your lifestyle and you're a doer of the word and not a hearer only, he will do it for you. He intervenes on our behalf. He makes ways out of no way. So people tell me, I had a home care therapist come in today and for my shoulder that I hurt a little bit a couple months ago. And so she says, well, what do you do over the summer when you don't have any income? I said, whatever I want to do. So I give God the glory, honor, and praise for that. And I welcome you to this ministry tonight. I give you praise. I thank you for being supportive of the inheritance that God gave to me, and that is my daughter, one of the joys of my life. She's had many, many struggles in her lifetime, but God is in the business of getting her through. He has his hand upon her life, and his blood is applied to her life, her son's lives, her husband's lives. And all that she says tonight is going to be for the glory of the Lord. So I'm going to play this song, and then I'm going to let Minister Shawnee Janine Cazares Banks have the mic. God bless you. Listen to this.
I'm grateful. Oh, Lord. Lord, I'm truly grateful.
I got another witness tonight. Come in, Dave Hollister.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where to start, Jesus. God, I could have been dead and gone, but you saw a different. You decided to save me. Oh, and I'm grateful, Lord. Oh, and I'm grateful, yeah. I could have been down and out, but you saved me, Lord. Lord, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, 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 oh. I love you, Lord. From my heart, I love you. From the bottom of my heart, I love you. All my days I'm gonna serve you, Lord. Yeah, wherever you want me to go, Jesus, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say, I'm only move when you tell me to move, Jesus. Oh, 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 yeah. And I thank you for delivering me, for setting me free, for washing me clean, oh, for loving me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, hey, hey. Thank you, Lord. I thank you. Oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
my heart,
God, your gratefulness,
come on, y'all, give Dave a hand. Thank the Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all gonna start this back up again? Because I do have one more witness. Come here, Rubenstein.
Behave. I
Hallelujah. I'm grateful. Flowing from my heart are the issues of my heart. And the issue of my heart is gratefulness. I thank God for this time. I'm just grateful to be on the air with my mother tonight, for her to give me this opportunity. It's only the Lord, you know, doing a work in me and through me. And I'm grateful. I humble myself right now before the Lord, before the audience. I turn my will over to God. Cast down my flesh and everything that my flesh wants to say. I tell it to shut up and let God say what he has to say to the masses of those listeners out there tonight. Somebody is looking for a word. Somebody is in a battle and somebody is asking why me. And you know what? One thing is in my life and every battle that I seem to face, because I know that I'm a giant slayer, because the enemy puts big things in my way. You know what I'm saying? And when you can't ask why me, I thank God that it's me. You know, when there's another song that says, it's me, oh me, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I always need prayer, so keep me in prayer, because I'm always on the front line, because this is why I'm grateful, because the enemy wants to destroy. The enemy wants to destroy me. The enemy wants to destroy you. And before he can get your flesh, the flesh is ultimately, you know, what he wants to destroy in the end. But he comes after your mind. He comes after your heart. He wants you to look at yourself as not worthy to slay the giants in your life. If you have big things that are may cause you detour or may get you off track, get on track and slay those giants. God is preparing you from the smallest things to the littlest things that get in your way to slay those giants. Be a giant slayer for the kingdom of God. See, I got a cold to slay that didn't come on me until about 10 minutes before this program. And now my nose is all clogged, and I can feel the congestion in my nose. You might be able to hear it. But see how the enemy works? It wasn't bothering me before I dialed in Blog Talk Radio. But God knows that there are a lot of things that were set up in my way for me not to speak tonight. From one thing to another, not my own will. That will look for an excuse to not be used by the Lord. But it's meant for me to be here to say what the Spirit of the Lord would have to say to you guys, and especially me, for it to come out of me as a victorious moment that God can get, you know, always get the glory from me doing something that he's called me to do. Put in my way to do, because this is my deliverance. This is a part of my deliverance, speaking the word out of my mouth and to lives, touch lives, and over my life. It's life. We have power in the tongue, the power of life and death. And when you speak it, you speak life, not death. There's an adversary out there. He's big. But we serve a giant God, a majesty, a living and true, just, loving God that has set us up and prepared us to be giant slayers. God is good. When I thought about, you know, this message, I thought a lot of things. And God just really had to come in and narrow it down, because, you know, I don't want to give a confusing message and be all over the place. One thing is about today's giant slayers. We are slaying giants that are in the spirit realm. Ones that we cannot see, and a great God saw fit that we don't see them, that we don't have the visual of actually what we're dealing with when we're in battle. He will reveal those spirits to people who he has called to be in the spirit realm, to see such. But because it's so ugly, it's so evil, it's so distracting, the things in which we battle as giant slayers, he has built a contrast, like we can't see those things that once could be seen. Because you wonder why some people are crazy. Some people feel like they're going crazy and things, because there are, the enemy is out there in a spirit realm roaming to and fro to destroy the spirit and the flesh of God's people. And you have to ready yourself. You have to prepare yourself and be on guard at all times. To stay ready is to be ready for the battle in the spirit realm, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality and power, against rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places. It is not one we battle in the flesh. It is not a flu. It is not a common cold. You can't pop an aspirin for this or a vitamin to make you stronger. You have to get on the armor of God, to pick up the word of God. Let it saturate your mind and speak it out of your mouth. Confess it in order to slay the giants that are in your life, set up, on assignment to your very person to take you there. Stand. When there's nothing else to do, stand with the full armor of God on, ready for the battle. And when we think about giants and we think about stories, it takes me first to David and Goliath. We all know that story. But as I went and I went back and I read, it wasn't a short story. Like, there was a lot of negotiation going on when Goliath came and was bothering the Israelites. Like, he came and he threw digs and he wanted to fight. And they were trying to figure out who was going to fight him. And, like, this negotiation process went on for a minute, and David was involved. But little old David, yeah, David was involved, and David never said, why me? David said, why not me? Why not me? But let's read it. And I'm going to not start at the beginning of Samuel. It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I think I'm going to start at verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And this is what he did, keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, guess what? I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. David said, I struck it and killed it. Like, he's saying, why not me? Why not I fight Goliath? How about that? Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, tomato, tomato, will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. I think David was a little fed up, too, like of the discussion of over who's going to fight. But fed up with Goliath because he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, for God's people, the living God, the armies, why not me? I fight the lion and the bear, okay? The lion and the bear. This Goliath is just going to be like one of them. The Lord who has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Is that not power in the tongue, okay? Because he said it, he meant it, and was like, bring it on. So guess what Saul said? Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Like, okay, you go ahead, and God be with you, because that everyone had a little bit of fear when it came to stepping up and fighting a giant. And a giant, and this giant was 6 cubits in a span. And that translates to about 9 feet some inches. That's how big he was. Now, if you were challenged to fight something, someone, a giant, 9 feet, some inches. How would you take that? Are you in your regular battles fighting the lion and the bear? So you're ready for the Goliath? Ask yourself, that's what my life is like. My life is like the giant and the bear. Now here comes a Goliath. And what's next after that, Lord? Because the enemy is trying to destroy me, you know? It should make you feel special. Because when you're that needed when you're that important to God, the enemy will come after you, pulling out all the stops to get you to cease fire on his kingdom, because God has called you for such a battle. For such a battle. Whenever the enemy is involved, it is to destroy. He is seeking to destroy, to devour, to rob, steal, and kill. Those words are big. Not just kill your joy, to kill your sanity, to make you suffer. Not just in your finances, but in your flesh. With sickness, take your health. Bring pain to your mind, attack you through your children, through your home, through your family, take away your friends. Maybe it's to get you in a place so that you are totally dependent upon him. But it is to make you, ready you for the battle, for a battle. The weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through God. That means you have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. You have to rewrite and prepare. And David had the experience of the lion and the bear. So bring on the Philistine. So then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. I bet you it didn't fit. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Now, this is physical armor, not spiritual armor. This is Saul's physical armor. And guess what David said? David said, I cannot go in these. He said, because I am not used to them. But he was used to something. David was used to what he was used to. He was used to the fight that he was used to. That was big to him. He was prepared the way he was used to preparing. And David was a little guy. He was a tent of sheep. But he was prepared. So he took those things off. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and he put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag with his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Like, hey, I'm ready. He was confident in the 5 stones he chose. That's how he armed himself. And the confidence of his everyday job was to keep the sheep safe from the adversary, from the enemy, from the lion and the bear, from the sheep in their mouth, from being harmed, from being eaten, from being devoured. So he physically prepared the way that he was used to preparing, the way that he was fighting the fight, the way that he was used to winning for him. So meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bare in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with a heath and handsome. And he despised him. He despised him because he was handsome. Devil hates you because you're cute. But guess what? He said, David, I am a dog. I am a dog that you have come with me, come at me with sticks. He's laughing. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Okay, by his gods. What gods were they? They weren't the living God. Because the living God is about to be tickled to death because David is about to take him down. Come here, he said, and I'll give you your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. See what the Philistine has? Come and attack the flesh. Destroy the flesh. Then, just like Jesus said, you could destroy the temple, but I will rebuild it in 3 days. You get it? The enemy is coming for you, and he's got much taunt in him while he's coming at your neck. And he'll hate you because you're handsome. Because you look good. Because the enemy's ugly. He's ugly. Thank God. God has closed off that spirit realm. I ain't got to look at the devil every day. You know? Because it's something. It's a horrible thing. To that be your spiritual calling to cast out demons. Lay on hands and see in the spirit realm what's attacking and what's lurking. I mean, every mind is not strong enough to take that. Can't see that. Like God closed that off so we don't have to look at that every day. Hallelujah. I certainly don't want to. It's not my thing. But listen, that thing, it was here. People saw the fallen angels that were here pre-flood, that were jealous of the way we looked and who we were as God's creation, the human being. And its only way, like, to get at us was to infiltrate by procreating, like coming in and procreating with what God created. But before we go there, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." That is a name above all names. Once you say the name of Jesus, then hell freezes. It stops everything that is in motion coming at you, and it has to obey the name of Jesus. You come in the name of the Lord. That is your armor first. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, this day the Lord will deliver you unto my hand. I'll strike you down and cut off your head. You go, David. He said, I will strike you down and cut off your big head, Goliath. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army. I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. So right back, look, you thought you was going to do it. I'm going to give you to the wild animals and the birds. And the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. See, everything at the end of the day is to prove God is, that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Don't believe it? Okay. So all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. How many times do we hear that the battle is the Lord? How many times do we hear that the battle is the Lord? How many times do we sing that, for the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's? Let that not go unsaid, unsang, unknown, but that every battle, every giant slayed, it is the Lord who slayed it. Before men. So as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David quickly ran toward the battle line to meet him. He wasn't scared. He wasn't afraid. There's no fear in God. God is love. God, love casts out fear. There's no room for it. Fear doesn't even exist if you don't believe it. You put action into fear. You make it act once you believe it. If you doubt and you fear, it will exist. You give it power. Take the power away from anything you fear in your life right now, because God is bigger. Be not afraid. Please be not afraid. Run toward the battle line and let the devil be slayed. Let the giant be slayed in your life. Stand up, so that God can get the victory. Reaching into his bag, this is David, and talking and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Took one stone. One stone. So David triumphed over the Philistine. With a sling, without a sword in his hand. struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from its sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with his sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and they ran. Now look who's scared. The Philistines, they were giants. And Goliath was a giant that came and taunted them. They wanted to fight them, and they were scared. But God chose David, and David was ready. He knew, I mean, he just heard a discussion one day and said, hey, well, like, why not? Why not me? He was a man. And he was handsome. That's what it said. He was handsome too. Oh, to be a man after God's own heart. Not just to be loved, but to also be liked. Right? God is good. And he's good all the time. And even though he chooses you to battle for him, for your life, for who you are, for who he's called you to be, for the name that is written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth, not to be blotted out, you've got to fight. How about that? Nobody likes a fight. Nobody wants to battle. But this is the daily thing for the Christian. No one told you that it was going to be easy. Just the fact that the road is narrow, our road is narrow, and wide is the road to going down the other way, the way that we don't want to go, tells you that it's hard. It's very hard. But before all this became in the supernatural, there were giants out there. How did they get here? There was like an angelic host that disobeyed God, and God cast them out of heaven. And, you know, the Bible says that, you know, in Genesis, that all of this existed, Genesis chapter 6, that all this existed, they were called the sons of God. And they were fallen angels that had physical relations with daughters of the Adamic nature, you know, what God created here on this earth, the host of angels that disobeyed him was also here in the earth. And it's part of why we battle in the spirit now. Why God has made this a spiritual battle and cut it off and only reveals it to those who are strong enough. Because this thing was very evident on the earth, which is why God saw Noah as righteous and chose him to build the ark. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Just give me a moment. I'm opening up my notes. But God is good, and I thank God that I've been chosen, you know, to fight this fight, and that he prepares me, and I'm in continuous preparation. Genesis chapter 6 says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit will always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children with them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thought of his heart was only evil continuously. The enemy made it and wanted to destroy humanity and lead them into a life of sin, a life that would not be liked in the sight of God, that God would not like, that would not be pleasing to him, that God would not get the glory out of. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was just a man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh was corrupted in his way upon the earth. All flesh was doing its own thing, sinning against the holy Lord which created it. And this is the only place where I see in the Word where God, where it says, and it repented the Lord that he made. He was sorry that he made something. And put it in a way of the enemy that came and defiled it by procreating with it and leading it astray. So God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And see, the Bible contrasts them from us. It says the sons of God. Took a liking to daughters that were of men. The Adamic nature, the human. And that's how, that was the only way to get really into us, to turn us against the one who created us. That's how much the devil hates God and hates us. That is it. Don't think he likes you. Don't think he likes you. Doesn't like himself.
Amen.
Eternal damnation is where his ending is. If we live eternally, there's a burning eternal for the sinner, the sin itself, too.
Amen.
For every blessing that God has in your life, there is a trick, set up, plan, tool, so that you do not get it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that whatever it is that you need to let go of really likes you, really is for you. Sometimes you get your hands on something so good, and it's not the plan of God, but a tool, a set up to destroy you and his work that he has to do for you and through you to build his kingdom. These things are set up to kill. The design is so that God doesn't have much of a kingdom. That the devil has a greater kingdom than him. But I tell you today, be a giant slayer of your giants, the giants in your life. Because they exist. This is for real. It's not mythology. It's not a story. You know, doing this research, I said in Genesis, and then I was looking and I saw some commentary saying that this is mythology. Well, if it is in the Bible, it is not a myth. It is the truth. And when we begin to take spiritual things as a joke, or think that it is not true, we take lightly the enemy that is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Never take that lightly. Because first he comes and he makes you a little stagnant, a little lazy. He attacks you in your prayer life so you don't feel like praying, you don't pray as much. He attacks you in the fundamentals. You stop fasting. You stop praying. You say a little curse every now and then. You do a little sin because you don't think anybody sees you, but God sees you. He's taking your walk with the Lord down little bit by little bit, weakening you. He's coming at the strength of your armor. How fixed you are spiritually in God. How steadfast you are. How committed you are to God. And the fight that he has, you fighting. This is a fight. This is a battle. This is not Sands Resort. This is not a vacation. It's not. Maybe you'll get a few minutes of relaxation from the fight. But the enemy is constantly coming at you in the spirit realm, whether you see it or not. And I said, thank God we don't see it, but some of you have to get a peek to know that it is real. Is to know that it is real. Sometimes things get going and it's going too good and it's going too smooth. What is that? I have to ask God, oh boy, what's going on? The devil's really coming to kick my butt somewhere. I know. I know. Because I've been there. I fell down. I've fell in the battle. I've given in to what has been roaming to and fro trying to destroy me. And yet here I am. It comes at me. It comes in like a flood all around me. Because as soon as I get away from the drugs and the alcohol, they'll come. They'll come for free. I ain't even got to pay. Somebody got a freebie for me. Yeah. That's exactly how it comes. Because then I start thinking they liked me. Again, the devil don't like you. Those friends don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows I got something to do for God. And the more that I do it, it gives me power. Power to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Those fiery darts that are coming at me, every time I fight, I get stronger. Every time David killed the lion or the bear, he got stronger, which gave him the confidence to attack the Philistine, Goliath. Forget a 9 feet, so many inches. That was the lion and the bear to David. It'll be just like that. A little stone right between the eyes. Boom, gone. Defeated. But
yes.
it was a horrible sight to the other little Israelites, the other Hebrews, the other people around that were small, couldn't fathom fighting Goliath. There was no way. Oh, no way. No way. I ain't doing that. Where's the cave? Where's the hole? I'm going to hide. Time out. I'm not doing that. That's not my call. That's not what I'm got to do. But I do. That's my calling. That's what I've got to do. And I got to get up pretty early in the morning to be ready to do it, because something is going to come and battle me today. Something is. That's the way my life is. So here we are. Now I've tackled the river and the meat. What's next? You know? Because they'll come at me through my husband. They'll come at me through my son. But I look at them and I say, you know what? This ain't nothing but the enemy, Father God. I thank you. Because here we are. Here we are together. Because the enemy came and tried to destroy this, my family. It's like, pull us apart. That's what he wants to do. My family, I'm the only woman in my house. And been that forever. Since the beginning. The only woman. These men are my coverings. Even the sons that I have, they're grown now. They take care of me. Hallelujah. As I've taken care of them. Praise God. And the enemy wants to destroy that. Because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for that covering, really in the prayers of my mother, I would be dead. Dead when I wasn't fighting. You understand me now. Because there wasn't always a time when I was fighting the battle. I went against the grain. I gave in. I gave up. But God, won't he do it? He turned it around. He had to show me, because it came a time that is what I thought I was. That is thought I was. I just wasn't meant to win. I wasn't meant to, you know, give a sermon. I just know scripture. That's it. I wasn't meant to save a soul, bring a life to Christ. I couldn't do that. No way. the devil had me thinking that that was not the plan of God for me. And I already knew, see, without a vision, my people perish. And he tried to convince me that what I already knew was a lie. Or maybe I convinced myself something that wasn't true. Well, the devil is a liar. In my mind, the devil tries to tell me that is under the influence of the father of lies. I take authority over the enemy that comes to trick you, that comes to convince you of who you are not, but be who you are, who God called you to be, who you know because he has revealed it to you. Hold true and strong in that. Because somebody's in a battle here and they're weak and they're thinking that maybe I'm not called to do this. Maybe. No, you are. And don't let doubt come in, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You better know that you know that you know that you know. That being on the front line of the battle is where God has placed you. To whom much is given, much is required. And those who know a little bit, not just a little bit of the word, but a lot of it, are required to do battle with it. Don't just be still. It's time to be still. And it's the time to be moving, progressive, progressively moving in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. That scripture says a lot. It takes strong strength, power, to take something by force, but it's just a violent take it by force. You take it with the same violence that you suffer. If that never stops, it's never stopping, it's ongoing, it's progressive, it's like the word now. When you read the word now, now faith is the substance of faith. Now, anytime the now in the Bible that was written brought into existence from some 2,000 years ago means now then, it means now now. So now is a very progressive word. It means it whenever it's said. Now, it means now. It didn't just mean it back when Jesus said it. It means right now. It pertains to now, your life now. So now as we hear the word of God and understand what it is he has called us to do, now let it be known to do it. We fall down, but we get up. We face things, but we don't let them kill us. What tries to kill us makes us stronger. Because when we come into the know of things and we know it, we use that knowledge. See, once the devil knows that we know we can destroy him, that's when he's got minions like to come in and attack with. Like, listen. There's a whole setup in the spiritual realm going on. Get down. And just this word right here is just bringing destruction to the plan of the enemy. Oh, no. He's speaking the word of God. Oh, no. My plan is foiled. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I feel so good when I think about the Lord and the word that he put in me and how willing I am. I'm so willing as a vessel to be used by him. Use me, use me, use me, Lord. And then when those ways that he wants to use me come along, I'm like, oh, God, I'm lazy. I don't feel like it. It's really defeating the purpose of God showing up in my life. If you don't want to do a work for the Lord, just lay down and don't even pray. Because the more you pray and the more that you go after the gifts and the kingdom of God, the more work and battle you're going to have to do. It's just like that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's just like that. So God destroyed the earth through the flood. And those things, that creation, just as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, those things were destroyed too. You know, ultimately, God is in control. If you don't know that, now you know. I don't think this is the first time you've heard it, me saying it. God is truly in control. He is the captain of a ship that we sail. And he knows at the end of the day who's going to thrive and survive and who's not. And who's not. That's why we pray and we fast and we fellowship and we stay in the Word. Because we can't depend on one another outside of the body of Christ to do anything for us, to save us out of any, or rescue you out of anything. Especially when you're grown, all the way grown. You can't call mom. You can't call dad. You might be able to get your bestie to pull up, but it's just things that as an adult in Christ that you are responsible for and obligated to in your own walk is to be ready with your sling and your stones.
Hallelujah.
That is very, very important. And your everyday life should consist of protecting what's yours in God. So if you got to fight the lion and the bear to prepare you for that big old giant, Goliath, God's not going to pull those things out of nowhere on you. That's what your life is like. That's what your life is like. Excuse me. That's what he's preparing you for. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. Those things make you ready. Those experiences in your life make you ready. Very, very ready. Those giants in your life, those giants back then, they wanted to destroy. That's how there's some of them ate people. It was a mockery to men to kill people and eat them. And they existed in the earth with humans to bring destruction upon the earth. and to God's kingdom and to God's people. If only you knew who you were, you couldn't say, why me anymore? That is why. Because God loves you and you're his. And he called you out. He set you apart. He made you, makes you peculiar. That is why your life is a battle. And no one's life should just be oh so quiet unless you're 90 and you lived a just life and it's time for you to take it down and just behold and wait for the Lord to come and take you and say when it's time for you to be with him. But that's what life is. In this day and time, no one is living a quiet life. It's a battle going on. The devil is seeking throughout this earth who he can destroy. The family, the mother, the marriage, the children, everything as a unit that he gives us, that we glorify him for. But some of us have big battles, giants in our life, the Goliaths and other giants that we have to come against. And we can only do it in God, with God, through prayer and submission, submitting to God. If you look at the lives of Paul didn't live no easy life. Paul was boiled, stoned, drowned. Like, the devil did everything to Paul's flesh for him not to have a flesh on a piece of bone. And still, he lived for the Lord. As Job did. God saw the devil seeking and roaming the earth to and fro, and said, you have not tempted my servant Job. God gave him permission because he knew that he wouldn't curse him. See, at the end of the day, God knows everything, and he knows why he's doing things and why he chooses certain people, why he's doing things in people's lives. He knows why. Maybe you don't know yet, but he knows why. And everything that the devil comes and destroys, as a testimony, God gives it back. A 10 and 100-fold. Like, he gives you greater things. Greater things hath he in store for you when the enemy destroys something. So don't let it break your spirit. Don't let it break your mind. Don't let it break your heart. You're going to get it back.
Hallelujah.
Everything that the devil has destroyed in me or tried to break down in me out here in this world, God has given it back to me. My mind is back. It's 100% on the Lord, where I felt like my mind was being squashed by depression and oppression, and just I couldn't get it together, like out of my bag, just crying and just down and defeated. Look at me now, Satan. I'm smiling. That rubber band hold that was around my mind where I was just depressed and just pain, excruciating headache, throbbing and feeling like my blood pressure was in my head and suffering from high blood pressure and just defeated, don't want to get out of my bed. Yeah, the devil showed up and said, look, if I can keep her in the bed, like just down and sleeping and all that, he can work in my home. He can work in my house. He can work on my kids. Because I'm not praying. I'm not up. I don't think I'm cut out for the job. But I am. And see, these are the things that comes at the mother or the minister, the one who has a ministry set up for them. Like, I can imagine the thing. I know the things that come at my mother because she has an obligation to ministry. And it's going to go on no matter what comes at her. She's going to do Gatekeepers Global podcast. And the devil don't like it. The enemy doesn't like it. It doesn't like her for that. It wants to attack her. It wants to stop her and cease fire to all the bombs she sends out by doing this. All the souls that are saved through Gatekeepers Ministry, International Ministry, International Ministry. She's a slayer, a giant slayer. Because it's more than some little demons like coming at her. When you got a ministry like this, when God's called you to do something like this, there are giant things that come to attack you in the spirit realm to get you to stop. And let's just talk about it today. We are going full throttle, full speed ahead in the Lord to do with the Lord, to slay the giants in our lives.
Hallelujah.
To build the kingdom of God. Because we're under attack right now. This is the last days. The church is not above the tribulation. We're in it. Accept it. Yeah, we are. Are you pre-tribulation, rapture believers? Where are we now? Look at us now. This is tribulation. This is a giant thing. This is a giant thing. We're dealing with vaccines and pandemic and wars and climate change. And if that ain't tribulation, come on. What is? We don't need another sign. But you got to be ready when you're living in the tribulation to fight giants, to giant slay. This is not a world that you can dilly-dally and, you know, sleep on. It's a world where you got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and put on his full armor that you can stand against the wiles of the enemy. Because the devil is terrible. And it's a terrible thing to be caught not on guard and have a fight that you're not ready for. So begin to speak those things that bring life and strength to who you are. Because this is what you're supposed to do today in this world, is slay the giants in your life with your sling and your stone or whatever you're comfortable in. David wasn't comfortable in Saul's tunic and Saul's armor. He wasn't comfortable. He took all that off and said, look, I got this. He did what was right for him, and he was ready. Why? Because he already took on the lion and the bear, okay? So have I. The lion and the bear, they ain't nothing to what the devil's like cooking up, you know, to get at me. Hey, bring it on. Bring it on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I give honor to God. I thank God for this message. I thank God for the message. It has blessed me, and I hope it has blessed you. Always know that the weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal. So you got to fast, and you got to pray. You've got to build yourself on the word of God in order to fight and slay these giants. You always be prepared, because it's what you're called to do in Jesus. I thank you, Mom, for giving me this time to minister on the podcast. I thank you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord God, to let us get a blessing from the hearing and the reading of your word. Myself also, let this not be my last time, but just be one more of many more, Lord God. Touch your people out there tonight. Give them another day. Let them to have received from your Holy Spirit. Let their eyes be open. Let their hearts be open, their minds. Touch hearts. Save souls, Lord God, because you're the God of second and thousand chances. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Again, saving my soul, making me whole, washing me in your blood, creating me in me a clean heart, renewing in me a right spirit to be ready to do this. Thank you, Mom.
Well, thank you. Hallelujah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I heard someone on YouTube say, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. And I've heard a word tonight. Truly, you may not be able to see your Goliath, but you know when you're confronted by a giant. And it may not be critical to somebody else as critical as it is to you. And whatever is critical to you is critical to Adonai Elohim, your Abba, Father. That's why he sent his only son, Yahshua HaMashiach, to give his life so that we would be able to slay giants by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible does say, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. People have all kinds of power. Witchcraft is consuming the earth. Power of influence. The power that people have just because they're whoever they are. They gain that kind of power. But I love the Holy Spirit. He's my friend. And he's the one in the earth right now. We're so fortunate to be here at this time because the power of the Holy Spirit is in the earth right now. And you who are listening to me, either tonight or on demand at some other time, from some other nation, some other country, from the United States and some other city or state, has access to this power because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. He gave his life, withstood a brutal beating for you and for me. He was hung high on a cross, naked, before the world, and bled to death. He could have stopped his blood from running, but he hung there knowing that he was there for you and for me. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. People don't want to hear about the blood. They don't want to talk about the blood, but they want to mess with your blood. Bloodthirsty demons, bloodthirsty witches and warlocks and evil, consuming in the earth. But there's a power of the Holy Spirit that it cannot consume. There's a light in the midst of darkness. That's you, and that's Shawnee, and that's me. We're the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven that we would have eternal life. I believe everybody on this line that has called in tonight is a giant slayer. And I believe that just because of this message, that you're going to understand a little better who you are in Christ. Because the name of Jesus has more power than every other name. The blood of Jesus applied in your life and the life of other people and on your job and wherever has more power. What's running rampant in the street? What's running rampant in the dark places? What's running rampant in these murder infested cities? And we have power in prayer to take authority over those demonic forces and bring them down in the name of Jesus. Giant slayers, spiritual wickedness in high places, they hate us. Hallelujah. Jesus said if they hated him, they'll hate us. So I just don't mind being hated. But I'm thrilled about this message tonight. Hallelujah. You know, there are some giants that you could see might be on your job. It might be these unruly kids in some of these high schools. It might be the person that you sit next to right on your job, right in the classroom. So many people are fortunate that they can work from home now. What a blessing. What a blessing. You don't have to deal with attitudes. You can go to your computer with your pajamas on and your slippers, clock in, sit there all day. Don't have to deal with people breathing on you or passing people in the hallway with a cold or the flu or the COVID. So God has changed some of that just for us. Hallelujah. And we give God all the glory tonight and all the honor. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you daggone sure need one. And I can take you into the throne room of God right now so that you would give your life to Christ and be a giant slayer. You know, babes in Christ can slay some giants. David was young in age, and he took that giant down. So don't think less of yourself. God has called you to do some great and mighty things for him. Don't let anybody make you think less. That's a giant that I had to battle with people, with influence, trying to get me to think less of who God has called me to be. And I've prayed some giants off of them. So we give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. Thank you, Shawnee. God bless you. Maybe a couple of hours ago, you should have took some of that leave I sent to your house or something to help with that runny nose. But that's true, because sometimes I get ready to get on the broadcast and I get so attacked. But after I get going, I feel a whole lot better, and the Lord has his way. So we're grateful tonight for all that God has done for us. I thank you for all those that have called in. I'm blessed every time I see Renee's number, my sister in Christ, my bestie, Joni's number. Hallelujah. I'll see her on the job tomorrow, Candace's number, and whoever else is called in. I think that's Cassandra might be listening. I give God praise for all of you, women of God, mighty women of God, mighty warriors, hallelujah, mighty slayers, giant slayers, hallelujah, wounded and healed. Jesus' scars are still revealed in his body. It's okay to reveal your scars, hallelujah. Just walk around with power. The power that was given to you once the scar was made, once the wound was made. Hallelujah. There's power behind those wounds. Victory in Jesus. I'm going to close tonight asking you to have sweet sleep, that only what you do for Christ will last. And I'm going to play one of my favorite songs. Hallelujah. Have a good night's rest. I hope the word ministered to you tonight. It certainly has ministered to me. God bless you. Next week, next Thursday night, I was supposed to have Prophetess Iris on, but I think I'm going to do my part two of salvation. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about forgiveness and whatever else God gives me concerning salvation for part two. So if you want to go to the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry, you can listen to Salvation Part One, Family First. Because I'm going to do part two next week. It's going to be a little more than forgiveness. I have to wait to see what else the Holy Spirit gives to me. But God bless you. Enjoy this song. It's going to bless your heart.
I'm so sorry. We did everything we could.
Thank you. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all it's stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is true. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life.
Jesus, oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Right.